please take your Bibles and turn to the book of 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6. I've been preaching out of the 2 Kings for just a few weeks now. And really just about the ministry of Elisha. If we remember, we preached not too long about Elijah, how Elijah was used by God in a great and powerful way. Well, we find Elisha is also being used. And really, that ministry is something that we ought to be mindful of ourselves, that God wants to use us in different ways and in great ways that we may honor him and cause others to know him. And so we'll find a neat picture here in the book of Elisha, or in the book of 2 Kings, about Elisha doing the Lord's will. And really, that we should be our will as well. Here's what the Bible says in 2 Kings chapter 6. And the sons of the prophet said unto Elisha, behold now, the place where we dwell with thee is too strait for us. Let us go, we pray thee, into the Jordan, and take thence every man a beam, and let us make us a place there where we may dwell. And he answered, go ye. And one said, be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. And he answered, I will go. So he went with them, and when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell in the water, and he cried and said, alas, master, for it was borrowed. And the man of God said, where fell it? And he showed him the place, and he cut down a stick and cast it in thither, and the iron did swim. Therefore said he, take it up to thee. And he put out his hand, and he took it. Father, we thank you, Lord, for all that you do for us. Thank you, Lord, for your word that gives us encouragement and direction and guidance. And, Lord, a great conviction, Lord, to live for you. And so, Lord, this morning I pray that you would take these things in this passage and help us to apply them, that we may be a faithful people at all times. Lord, I pray that you would move mightily, that you would convict us again, that we may be mindful of the work that you called us to, and that every one of us that are believers have been given a task and the ability to do that. So, Lord, today I pray that you would move us mightily, encourage us, and help us. Thank you, Lord, also for your promise that when your word is read, it will come back void. And, Lord, we ask that that be the case today. In the name of Jesus, I pray, amen. Well, I know I've told you the story, but let me tell you again about the old guy that used to cut down trees for a living with a cross-cut saw. And man, that's what he did. It was years and years and years ago. And so he came in and finally said, I need to buy a new saw. This saw is just wore out. I've cut and I've cut and I've cut. And the guy said, well, have you considered these new saws called a chainsaw? The guy said, well, I'm not. He said, well, I'll tell you what, if you cut down 10 or 12 trees with your regular cross-cut saw, you may cut down 100 with this new chainsaw. The guy said, that is fantastic. Give me that saw. So he took it off, and about 3 days later, he came back and said, I want my money back and my old saw back. And the guy said, why? He said, there must be something wrong. He said, give me that saw. And he reached the saw, turned it on, and cranked it up, and it roared to life. And the old guy said, what is that noise? He had missed the power of the saw. Let me just tell you today, we'll find that if you're not careful, you'll miss the power that God has for you to live for him and do mighty things for the cause of Christ Jesus. There's a great picture here for us in this book of 2 Kings. And so let me just share a few things so you will not be a powerless parishioner, that you will not be one that cannot do what God desires. Here's some things again I want to show you. One, there's the continued growth of the believers. The continued growth of believers. Let me read verse 1 again. It says, and the sons of prophets said unto Elisha, behold, now the place where we dwell with thee is too strait for us. In other words, they were growing. Things were taking place. There were things that were alive in that place. And man, how good it is to recognize that the believers were growing in number. Well, with everything good, there always seems to be something bad. There seems to be a problem in this stage. So notice, we had this continued growth, but now notice this, the constriction of the place. He said, the place where we dwell is too strait for us. And so we find that word strait means to be constricted, to be too small, to be too narrow. And so we find the Lord was adding to their number and blessing them. They were excited and they recognized that. They recognized they needed to build something bigger. You may say, well, that's not our problem. We built this nice building. We've got plenty of room. But let me remind you, if we do it the way God desires, we will have that same problem sooner or later. God always desires for his people to grow, for his kingdom to grow, and God desires that he blesses them and let them recognize who is Lord. Matter of fact, I like Matthew chapter 28. The Lord gives us a command there. Go ye, therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whichever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. We have a command by God to go forth and share the good news. Look what happened in that early church in Acts chapter 2, verse 41. Then they that gladly received the word were baptized, and the same day they were added to them about 3,000 souls. If you go to Acts chapter 4, it continues on. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men were about 5,000. The church took off. You say, oh, we can't do it like that these days. I'm telling you, yes, we can, and we must. I am surprised that the number of people I hear today that walk around that have never heard the name Jesus. You say, that's crazy. Go to the school system. Talk to the teachers. When they share the good news, people are like, what are you talking about? Parents today do not teach their children as they should. We need to step up to the plate, be counted as the church of the Lord Christ Jesus, and simply do His will. We should be a people that are on a rescue mission to share the gospel and save as many people by the Spirit of Christ as we can. The place there was constricted because they were growing. So now notice this, not just the constriction, but now the challenge to the people. Verse 2, let us go and take thence every man a beam, and let us make us a place there where we may dwell. Notice those words, go, take, make, action words. That is a formula for success. Now, in the secular world, they have a way to success, and that is this. Set a goal, step one. Step two, try to achieve it. Step three, repeat step two until step one is achieved. In other words, you just set a goal and just work and work and work until you achieve that goal. That's good for the secular world. But our goal is a little bit different. We listen for God to speak. Then He gives us our goal, and then we use His power to accomplish that. If we follow that thing, God will truly bless us. I wonder today, though, how many times we set goals that are really not God-sized. I wonder how many times do we set goals that really God's not all about at all. I wonder, do we include Him in the things that we want to do? There's a great danger when it comes to ministry to take the easy way out. I remind the story, a little boy went on vacation during the summer, gets back to school, and the teacher was asking the students what they did for their summer vacation. It was little Johnny's turn, and she said, little Johnny, where did you go? And he said, we went to my grandma's house in Minneapolis, Minnesota. She said, that is great. Can you spell that? He said, actually, we went to Ohio. We take the easy way out. It is no different than in church many times. You know, it is hard to serve the nursery. It is hard to teach Awanas. It is hard to teach Sunday school. It is hard to go visit. It is hard to provide for the sick. It is hard doing ministry. But that is what we are called to do, to serve Him faithfully. You say, will it be worth it? Imagine being in heaven one day and somebody came up to you and says, you taught me in Awanas. You witnessed to me. You gave to this mission. You went here. You shared what God had laid on your heart. And I'm the product of salvation because the Spirit convicted me and I gave my life to Christ Jesus. Oh, what a day that will be. Man, how good that is. I wonder today, will we pursue ministry as God desires? Will we pursue growing the kingdom of God? Let me remind you, good news is you're not called to do it just by yourself. Matter of fact, it is easy to feel that way. If you remember Elisha's predecessor felt all alone at times. If you go to 1 Kings chapter 19, he's complaining because there's nobody else that's serving the Lord. And the Lord says, there's 7,000 guys that have not bowed down to the Baal but serve me. I want you to recognize today that God wants you to be a part of something. You don't have to do it all by yourself. You don't have to be the Lone Ranger. Just part of an organization called the Living Church of God that wants to do things right, to share the gospel of Christ. So I wonder today, will you commit to being part of that first by asking Christ to save you, to be a believer of Christ and to follow Him? Secondly, will you commit by sharing the gospel, by praying for workers, by supporting and encouraging the work the Lord leads us to do? Together we can make a difference. Well, notice how that thought continues, not just the continued growth of the believers, but secondly, there's the community effort of the believers. Again, notice this, let us go, we pray thee, into Jordan, and take thence every man a beam, let us make a place there where we may dwell. And he said, go ye. Notice everybody had a part in the work. Notice those pronouns, us, we, every, us, we. It's all about this community. Every important person is important when it comes to the ministry of Christ. Every person had a purpose and a part in this. I reminded the Apostle Paul, speaking about the church, speaking about us, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he says this, "For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were eye, where would the hearing be? And if the whole were hearing, where would the smelling be? But now God has set members, every one of them, in the body as it pleased him." And he goes on and on about what God has called each of us to do. God has given each of us a part, and we should do that. An equal part. Let me just say, the pastor or the deacons are no better than anybody else. And those that do this kind of ministry that are no lower than anybody else. We're all part of what God has called us to do. There's a great story told about treating people the way you should about Charles Plum. Plum was a Navy pilot, very successful, had shot down many planes, kind of like an ace in the Navy in the Vietnam War. After 75 combat missions, he finally got shot down, went to a Vietnam camp or prison camp for 6 years, and made it back home fine, and would go around the country telling his story and the different things that he learned during that time, especially to the military branch, but also just to people in general. Kind of a world-renowned person, you may say. One day he was eating lunch, he said, and a guy came up to him and says, "You're Charles Plum. You got shot down in Vietnam. You spent 6 years in Vietnam in a prison camp, aren't you?" And the guy said, "Yes, how'd you know that?" He says, "I'm the guy that packed your parachute. Evidently, it worked okay." And the guy said, "It did." He said he went home that night, couldn't hardly sleep because he thought, "I wonder, did I pass right by that guy and never say hey? I wonder how many others that I've passed by and really thought I maybe was a fighter pilot and there was a lowly Navy person that I just kind of thumbed my nose at." And made him realize that we all have people that pack our parachutes that encourage and help and bless us. No matter our job, we ought to recognize our calling is very important. Everybody had a part in the work. But notice this, everybody had power for the work. Verse 4 says, "So he went with them, and when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood." Notice what they began to do. They began to chop down things. They began to use an axe to do mighty things. And I'm telling you, God has given us all this great power, and I just want to, I left my axe down here for a second, so I want to get it and bring it up to you. Don't get too scared. The security guys, just be aware, amen? It's just me. God has given us this power to do something. God has given us the power to be effective for him. Acts 1:8 says, "But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria to the uttermost parts of the earth." If you keep on reading, that became evident in Stephen's life, Acts 6:8. Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Can you see them? Every man has an axe. They go and they begin to chop down these trees to make a place to build this place for the prophets or the sons of the prophets to be. I'm telling you, God has given you a task. I've already mentioned everybody that is a believer has been given a task for doing the will of God. I don't know what your task is. I know what mine is. I know what my calling is. But what about yours? God has given you a work to do. But not just a task. The Lord has given you a talent or a spiritual gift to encourage and do that. Now, let me remind you, not all gifts are equal. I mentioned about reading the body. Sometimes our gift kind of, I'll let you hold that. He's been given a job to do. You might as well just stand on up, amen. And sometimes he looked like he could hold that thing. Why don't you stand up and hold that? That's a real man. I got this from Sparks, amen? Now, they may look similar, but they are completely different. One's for splitting wood. One's for, well, you could split wood, I guess, with that, but really chop things. Sometimes our gifts are like this. Maybe it's a little smaller thing. But it's still important. I mean, we're all called some way to do something with the power of God. God has called us. This is a little girly right thing here. Carson, this is yours. Amen. Two things, don't you? God always empowers us to do something. He empowers us to use those things. Sometimes we may be a big burly guy and we have a big burly hatchet or axe, and that just kind of fits as we think. Sometimes we may be a big burly guy and God gives us a little thing for that temporary thing. Maybe his job is something delicate that God's going to use him maybe at work tomorrow to say one small little word that's going to change in people's lives. I don't know what it is. I just know that it is. And God is able to use us and empower us to do those things. I'll take him back. So you think about what God's calling you to do. You recognize that God's got a call in your life and that God wants to empower you and that God wants to use you, and God is able to use you if you are willing. If you will simply, per se, step up to the plate and let God do what he does. And so they're all empowered to do these things. They are chopping wood. They are chopping wood. And that's what God has called us to do. So let me get to the end of this point. You are important for the work of the Lord. The Lord has gifted you with something in the body of Christ to do. The question is, are you using that gift? If you're not, you may blame some people. You may blame the pastor. You're not equipping me for the work. And I'll take some of the blame. But at the end of the day, I think you can only blame maybe yourself for not being willing to be used by Christ to the fullest possibility. Well, notice what happens. Now we go from this continued growth to the community effort. But thirdly, there's the crisis of the believers. If you read verse 5, it says, "But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water." Now, let me just tell you, this guy is chopping away, but all of a sudden he loses his edge. He loses his axe head. And just as sometimes we today lose our edge, sometimes we lose our edge for different reasons. Sometimes it's because of sorriness. I'm just going to be real with you this morning. Sometimes it is easy just to set the old axe down and let it rust away. Sometimes it's easy just to set the power of God that he's given you in the closet and let it deteriorate. Sometimes we sit on the back burner and we say, well, we used to use our axe. We used to do these things. We used to be useful, and yet because of sorrowness, I've been there before, my friends. We set it down, and it kind of rusts away. We lose our spiritual edge for different reasons. Sometimes we lose our spiritual edge because we fail to maintain the edge. We fail to keep it sharp. We fail to hone it as we should. Let me just tell you about your life today. If you want to have a great relationship with your spouse, sharpen that edge. If you want to have a great relationship with your family, the greatest thing you can do is maintain that edge. You say, well, man, how can I do that? Do you have a personal relationship with the Lord to start with? A close relationship, I should say. Do you have a time of prayer? Are you close, connected with him? Are you reading the Word of God? I'm telling you, that Word sharpens us. Daily devotions, quiet times, Sunday school, discipleship training times, fellowship with other believers. You say, I don't need any of that. Well, I'm telling you, your edge will not be as sharp as it could be without those. Are we failing to maintain those things that God gave us? I heard about a guy that was excited to go work for the lumber company years ago. He was one of the fastest workers you can imagine, and so they hired him on, and he started out good, and about 3 days later they called him in to fire him. They said, well, we just can't hire you. You're not profitable anymore. What? And the guy said, I don't understand. He said, I started out and I'm chopping. I skip work breaks. I skip lunch. I'm just working like crazy, and yet I'm having trouble. And the guy said, well, what are you doing? And he went through the process and he says, have you ever taken the time to sharpen your axe? The guy said, no. The guy said, that's your problem. I wonder today, have you taken the time to sharpen what God has given you? Are you truly seeking him? We're living in a time where there's a spiritual crisis in America, but we, the church, have lost our cutting edge, our power to influence others to follow Christ. Why? Because of our lack of desire. He lost it, though, while working. He was working hard. And I'm telling you, you can do the same thing. You can get so busy about doing the Lord's work, you can take your eyes off those things. He didn't lose his salvation. He lost his spiritual vigor. He lost his ability to work. And so you may be here today, a faithful believer in Christ, and you've been chopping and chopping and chopping and chopping, but man, you just feel so far from God and feel so ineffective for the cause of Christ. Let me remind you what happens when you do that. There's a lost purpose. Remember Matthew 28, verse 19, "Go ye therefore," and so we lose our spiritual edge and we lose our purpose. God has given us a kingdom purpose. Secondly, when we kind of lose our edge, we have lousy priorities. We begin to major on the minors and minor on the majors. We begin to please ourselves but not please God. Thirdly, we have lacking passions. We get to a point where I have to instead of I want to. The result is ineffective power. And so we have a lost purpose, lost or lousy priorities, lacking passions, but little power. With no axe head, you can do very little. You can do what God wants you to do. You can exert a lot of energy and accomplish very little. Now, we like to quote Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me." And that's a great verse. And we like to quote Philippians 4:19, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." God does supply, but what happens is when we lose our spiritual vigor, when we lose our axe head, we're really good for nothing but to cause trouble. We have an axe handle, but no axe head. We have lost those things. And let me remind you, an axe handle is good for nothing except for beating up people. Amen. You know, some of you got an axe handle in your truck there. That's right. I've seen some people that are good people, but when they lose their edge, man, they are not so good. I've seen preachers carrying an axe handle and beating up on church members, trying to manipulate them to do this and this and this. I've seen deacons want to take charge because they think they're the boss and they have their axe handle and they're going to beat those guys in line. I've seen prestigious families of the church have their axe handle but no power and try to control things. I've seen churches split because all this on this side have their axe handles and all this on this side have their axe handles but no power. Man, I've seen families fall apart. I've seen sweet little old ladies you think would be the sweetest in the world carry their axe and are beating people they think with spiritual vigor when they've lost their purpose and their power. It is time we do something different than this, that we get back to doing the Lord's will and putting down our axe handle and picking up our axe whole and swing as we should. Do you realize today churches are dying left and right because they are not using the power that God has given them? It's time we get back to our business of doing the Lord's work, not ours. It's time we got back to being used by the Lord instead of using the Lord for our purposes. It's time we quit being for us and start being for the Lord. Notice the last thing. Not only the continued growth in the community and the crisis, but there's the course of recovery. In verse 5 it says, "But as one was filling the beam, the axe head fell in the water, and he cried and said, 'Alas, master, for it was borrowed.'" Notice, we must recognize the loss of our power. We must recognize the loss of the axe head. We must recognize not just it's gone, but its value. So many times in life, we look back and say, again, I've already said this, we used to do this and this and this like it's no big deal. And let me just tell you, sometimes transition in ministry is okay. You don't have to do what you've always done, but you got to do something the Lord wants you to do now, whatever that is. Sometimes we can't, when we get a little older, we can't do what we used to do, but we can surely do something now. And so I wonder, do we recognize the value and the loss of what we used to do? Do we recognize how important each of us are to the work that Christ has called us to be? Do we understand when we don't do our part, the church is ineffective and not able to do as it could? Have you recognized the loss in your life of what God has called you to do? So how to fix it? Secondly, we must run to the one that can help. Notice what he said, "Alas, master." He runs to Elisha, the man of God. Let me just tell you, we have somebody much better than Elisha. We have the Lord Jesus, who loves for us to run to him, that loves for us to ask him, that wants us to be in his presence no matter our past. So I wonder what keeps us from going to the one that helps us. It may be pride. Pride is the great killer. Pride is the thing that hinders us. It may be shame. It may be guilt. It may be a fear of rejection. What you may think, what if I told you of the time that I used to do it and now I'm no longer? What if I told you how I lost this power? The Bible says in the book of James, confess your faults one to another. We should be able to come and share. I know sometimes it's difficult. I've heard of preachers that have missed it. I've heard a preacher that was not saved, that got saved, and the church fired him when he shared that he got saved. Amen? How crazy is that? We ought to be able to come together and help one another. Run to the one that can surely help. Don't worry about what anybody else thinks. And then notice what he says in verse 6. And the man of God said, where fell it? We must remember where we lost it. He didn't just arbitrarily say, well, just go over there and pick something up. No, he said, where did you lose it at? One of the greatest things you can do if you used to be effective for the kingdom of God is look back and say, when did I stop being effective? Was it that job? Was it that relationship? Was it this? Was it that? When did I lose my cutting edge? Why? Maybe direct you around those things so you'll quit falling into that pit that gets you there. When you stopped, when you started, when you stayed away from the body of Christ, again, what stopped you? What sin caused you to quit? What small thing stopped you? What person made you stop? I'm telling you, you can overcome all those. Just run to the one called Christ. He can help you. Well, here's the last thing I want you to see. We must recognize, we must run, we must remember, but we must reach out and recover it. Notice verse 6 again. The man of God said, where fell it? He showed him the place, cut down the stick, cast it in, and the iron did swim. Now notice, he just throws a stick in there, and this piece of metal, this iron head, it floats to the top, and it says, and it did swim. In other words, it is moving around. Verse 7 says, therefore he said, take it up to thee, and he put out his hand, and he took it. It just didn't jump up on the bank. It didn't hop on the stick anymore. He said, you got to do something there. He had no power to make the iron swim. He had no power to make it rise up. He had no power. But he did have the ability to simply receive what the man of God told him to do. I'm telling you today, it's the same way with salvation. We have no power to save or change ourselves. But we should receive what God has done. We should believe. We should trust. We should receive him. Our memory verse this week, John 1, verse 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. I'm telling you, God wants you to receive the greatest thing of all. That is the power of life, the power for living, the power to make a difference in the lives of others. I wonder, will you receive that? This man reached out and picked it up. I think about what God wants us to do, to receive that same thing, Christ Jesus. I like this song. And the reason I want to read this to you, because sometimes you may be here, if you've never received Christ, today ought to be the day of salvation. You ought to come to him. But if you are a believer and somehow gotten away, somehow dropped off your axe head, somehow lost it, somehow misplaced it, I'm telling you, there's hope for us today. Commit to come back. This song says this, come thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering far from the face of God. He to save my soul from danger interposed his precious blood. Now here's the verse I like. Prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Take my heart, oh, take it, seal it with the spirits from above. Rescued thus from sin and danger, purchased by the Savior's blood, may I walk on earth a stranger as son and heir of God. I'm telling you, God wants to do a work in our life. God wants us to be useful for the kingdom. God wants to make a difference in our lives and in turn use us to make a difference in others. The question is, will you reach out and receive it? Will you just simply pick up by faith what God is doing in your life? He wants that. Question is, will you? I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes just for a moment. So what does that look like? It may be a confession of sin. To do God's will, just confess, repent, maybe for the first time, confess and repent. It may be that you've done that and you need to be baptized, and God's saying, I want you to be baptized as a testimony and a witness for others, a profession of faith of what God's already possessed. It may be church membership, and God's saying, this is the place, or some other place. You need to be involved in your local church doing the work of Christ inside. It may be a work on the outside. It may be restoring relationships. Maybe your edge is not sharp because of you have had this grudge or this bitterness that needs to be healed. Why not today do whatever it takes to make sure you pick up that axe and swing it for the power of God and see what God will do in your life, in the lives of others? Oh, he's calling. Will we answer? Father, we just come before you. We say thank you, Lord, for your word that gives us hope and peace and direction, that hopefully, Lord, brings conviction, it does to my life, that we may be a people that turn from ourselves and turn to you. Lord, let us do whatever it takes. Let us follow you with all that we are. So, Lord, we ask today that you use us and help us in the name of Jesus. We ask all this now in the name of Jesus again. Amen.